Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy that we can sit together in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes and we're going to start very soon. So please get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in a chair. And if you sit in a chair, which is totally fine, please sit with your feet flat on the floor. And as we get settled, I want to talk a little bit about love. This is Valentine's Day week, the beloved and hated holiday, depending on where you are in your life right now. But I think about love a lot because it's very confusing to me. And also I wrote a book about it called The Four Noble Truths of Love. And I thought in honor of Valentine's Day, I would share with you what those truths are very briefly, and then we can start our meditation practice. So the Four Noble Truths of Love are based on the Buddhist Four Noble Truths, which are life is suffering, which doesn't mean life sucks. It means everything changes. Grasping, number two, creates suffering, which means pretending the first noble truth is not true, is actually the cause of suffering more than the root cause of suffering. It's possible to stop suffering, truth number three. And truth number four is called the Eightfold Path, which are the eight steps that you can take to stop suffering. Right view, right intention, right speech, right livelihood, and so on. So at a time of turmoil in my own marriage, which is now 20 years long, we were just not getting along at all. And I was sitting at my desk one day crying, thinking, maybe this is over. I thought we loved each other, but we can't even be in the same room together for no reason. Everything that happened made us get in a fight with each other. I don't know where to begin fixing this. And then I had an insight or heard a voice in my head or I don't know what that said, begin at the beginning. At the beginning are four noble truths. So the four noble truths of Buddhism sort of kindly rearranged themselves in my mind to apply to love. And again, briefly, I will share with you what they are. The first noble truth, the cause of suffering, which in the Buddhist case is life is suffering because everything changes. The first noble truth of love is relationships never stabilize. They're uncomfortable. Nobody ever told me that. You know, you think, well, hopefully I'll meet someone and we'll fall in love and then we'll have issues and we'll work them out. And at some point there's going to be some smooth sailing where we just are happy. And yeah, that happens for a week or a month or a year or some period of time, but then it changes. And this never stops. This never happens. So nobody told me that. It never stabilizes. It's always shifting and changing and going away and coming back and who knew? That's the first noble truth. The second noble truth is that thinking that they should be stable or comfortable is actually what creates a lot of the stability and discomfort. And I want to exclude from this theory suffering, instability, and discomfort that's related to problems like addiction or abuse. They don't count. That's a whole different category. And I'm in no way am I suggesting that if you have those things in your relationship that you should just go, oh, some Buddhist lady said relationships never stabilize, so I should probably deal with it. No. Different category. So second noble truth, thinking they should be stable, actually causes a lot of the instability. The third noble truth of love is that meeting the discomfort together is love. Rather than trying to work out all the problems and this was your fault and this was my fault, I mean, yeah, talk about everything. But rather than facing off and looking at each other like, what's your problem? No, what's your problem? A great relationship is one that will go like this, that where the two of you will turn and stand shoulder to shoulder and look out at where you are right now. Now we love each other, now we don't, and so forth. So if you can find someone who will take that ride with you, not to make a perfect relationship, but to make a real relationship, not only is that the best you can hope for, it is the best there is. And the fourth noble truth is that there are three steps that you can take to bring these qualities into your life. And I won't explain them in detail, but they are honesty. Can't be honest, and it's very hard to have a real relationship. Viewing the other person as having at least equal importance to yourself in the relationship. That one was a big shocker to me. And the final one is viewing everything that happens between you not as a way to keep the romance alive, but as a way to deepen intimacy. Because romance always ends. Intimacy has no end. And whatever happens between you, barring abuse and addiction, somehow you can look at it as a way to deepen how well you know each other and how closely you're willing to connect. So, happy Valentine's Day. If this is of interest to you, check out The Four Noble Truths of Love. I'm very proud of it. I self-published it. I'd love to share it with you. And in the meantime, let's practice. Please take a good seat, which means first to recognize, I'm sitting down. I'm not flying through the sky. I'm not on my way somewhere else. I'm here. And let yourself become heavy from the waist down, like give your weight to the cushion or chair. And let the hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let your belly relax a lot. And when you think you have relaxed it, see if you can relax it some more. Soften the area around your heart and your throat. These are three gates with which we communicate with our world: the gate of intuition, the gate of emotion, the gate of speech, and they're always open. But we can relax with that because we have a strong back to support it all. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth are slightly parted. And the breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. In this practice, the eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, up to 6 feet or less, depending on where your screen is. And let there be a sense of vision mixing with space, rather than trying to pinpoint something in space. Like, what can you see in the entire visual field? Just let that in. And the crown of the head reaches up a little bit. Now let your attention rest on the breath, which means feel the breath rather than observe the breath. Feel the inhale, feel the exhale. Stay with the whole cycle. See if you can spot the moment that the inhale becomes the exhale, and ride the exhale out. At the end of the exhale is a little gap, and the next inhale will simply happen on its own. The amount of effort required of you is zero. So let the breath carry you. Your mind will continue to make thoughts because that's what it does. It's fine. There's no effort, no need to, quote, clear the mind of thought or think happy thoughts or think less thoughts or change it at all. Just let it be exactly as it is. Your thoughts will come and go on their own. You don't have to order them about or step on them or push them. They'll come and go while your primary attention is on the breath. And should you notice, oh, I forgot about my breath, and I'm absorbed in a line of thought, no problem. Label that moment thinking, so you note the difference between thinking and meditating. And let go. Let go of the thought. Doesn't matter whether it's vicious or beautiful or dull or important or trivial. Just let go. And gently bring your attention back to the breath and take a fresh start. And the amount of fresh starts you are allocated in any given session is infinite. So you can relax and we'll sit together. Thank you so much for your practice. I really mean that. And thank you for practicing with me. I mean that too. And thank you so much for practicing together.